Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Galen Druk of 538.com joining us now. He is talking with us about some of the breaking developments overnight, host of the 538.com politics podcast. Galen, yesterday we saw the General Services Administration take those first steps that I know the Biden team has been waiting for at least a couple of weeks, to release some funds, clearing the way for the start of a transition, yet it's not exactly the concession that a lot of people might have expected, is it?
Correct. Although I think a lot of us did expect, people who have been watching the Trump administration and Trump campaign for the past 5 years, that President Trump will never fully concede that he lost the election. And so this may be the closest that we get to a concession, allowing the General Services Administration and Trump allowing his own administration to start working with the Biden camp to, you know, move forward with the transition. He, of course, has said that he's continuing to pursue, you know, his cases in court, and he has been lobbying, you know, local elections officials to not certify results, which is an unprecedented measure, especially considering that there is no evidence of election fraud. Of course, no election fraud on the scale that would overturn this election. But as you may remember, he claimed that election fraud was the reason that he lost the popular vote in 2016 by 3 million votes. And so, you know, he claimed that there were 3 million illegally cast ballots in California. And so, you know, he probably, like in that case, will never acknowledge that he has lost this election and maintain that he won were it not for election fraud, even though that's not true. And so I think this is kind of the moment that we have been waiting for the rubber to meet the road and for the president to acknowledge the reality that he has lost, even if he won't say as much.
Yeah, and, you know, of all of the legal challenges that he put out, what's left?
There is very little left. And it almost, at this point, doesn't matter, because almost every single one of the cases that he brought has been thrown out. You know, he has claimed election fraud in the, you know, court of public opinion, but when he actually gets to court, he hasn't been able to point out any examples of fraud that would be able to overturn this election. And judges, you know, judges of all different persuasions appointed by all different presidents, have essentially said, there's nothing here, you're wasting our time, and this is bad for democracy. And so he's continuing to pursue his case in the court of public opinion, trying to convince Americans that this election was fraudulent. Again, this is not true, but it still, you know, will affect American politics if a large number of Americans, particularly a large number of Republicans, believe that this was not an election that happened with integrity. And so that's still important. That can still be damaging to democracy. And of course, he's also lobbying state legislatures and local elections officials to overturn the results in their state or to refuse to certify them. This is completely unprecedented. It doesn't seem like he's having a lot of success, but these are the efforts that he's still pursuing, even while acknowledging that essentially the transition will move forward.
We kind of, you know, really know what's going to, especially now after last night, we know what's going to happen moving forward. Joe Biden won the election. The transition will happen. He'll be inaugurated in January. But now there's this question of, because of what the president is saying publicly, Will this hurt Republicans in future elections, whether it be the Georgia runoff, whether that be, you know, even as far away as 2 years from now? Because you're with 538, I'm wondering how we can quantify that if, you know, this distrust in the electoral process will have an impact on Republicans when it comes to the ballot box in some of these important races. What are you going to be looking at between now and maybe the Georgia runoff to see if that really is the case?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, and we don't have a perfect answer at this point. We can probably poll, voters to see, or just Americans writ large, registered voters, to see if they feel like, you know, you can ask them, will my vote matter? Does it matter if I vote? You can kind of score, the American public's trust or interest in voting that way. But it is a question that we're starting to ask, which is, if you tell Americans that elections are rigged and that, you know, their vote won't necessarily help determine the outcome, they may ask themselves, well, then why vote? And so I think the Georgia runoff will be a test of this question, which is, if President Trump convinces a lot of Republicans that voting doesn't matter because elections are rigged, then will they turn out to vote? At the same time, you know, there's another part of the equation here, which is that the strongest case for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, the two Republicans running in Georgia, is probably elect us so that we can prevent Democrats from holding a majority in the Senate and having full control of the government and then being able to implement whatever progressive policies they may want. However, it's hard for them to make that argument because the kind of Republican Party's position led by President Trump at this point is that he hasn't lost the election. And so you're seeing voters ask Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue while they're on the trail, while they're holding campaign events in Georgia, you know, what are you doing to help President Trump maintain power as president? And so there are a lot of conflicting messages here. You know, there's also the possibility that the feeling of a rigged election will rile up voters, Republican voters, and so they will turn out. So there's a lot of questions here that will be, you know, we'll get more answers on January 5th when that election happens.
And Galen, how big of a challenge is it now for Biden to gain the trust of a huge swath of the population that has been told over and over again by the president himself that Biden stole an election from him?
Yeah, and again, important to note that's false. But I think that it's probably not something that Biden can do on his own. It's incumbent on, you know, Republican lawmakers, Republican, you know, conservative right-wing media outlets, et cetera, to tell their constituents and tell their audience the truth. Because if people, you know, presumably the people who believe that the election was stolen aren't going to take Joe Biden's word for it. And so, you know, there are, in a functioning democracy, both parties, all people invested in, you know, having a functioning government, have a functioning country, have to accept the results of elections. And so it's incumbent on those people to tell their constituents and tell their audience the truth. That's kind of the only way that we can continue to have a functioning democracy in which all people believe that elections matter and that the will of the people is followed.
Hey, Galen, appreciate the time this morning. That's Galen Druk of 538.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.